Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1 and co-host of The Odd Couple with Rob Parker on Fox Sports Radio. Chris Broussard joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Chris, we always appreciate the time. Let's start with this. As the flagship for the Golden State Warriors, we're so close to this situation between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. Perhaps we look at it through a biased lens. From a national perspective, how bad is this situation right now?
Well, that's a great question. I think you could argue it's been a little bit overblown in terms of the damage it could do for this year. The way I'm looking at it is this. Long term, does it make it more likely that KD leaves? I would say yes, but he was gone anyway. The only question with KD long term with the Warriors was, would he leave after this season? Or would he play 1 year in the new arena in San Francisco and then leave? I believe he was gone either way long before this Draymond incident happened. Now that it's happened, I do think he's leaving after this season. The question then becomes, how will it impact this year for the Warriors? That's long term, it's not going to impact it because he's gone regardless. This season is the question. And they have a few things going for them. One, both of these guys are tremendously committed to winning. We know that Draymond's whole legacy is winning. His legacy is not like Steph or KD or LeBron or somebody like that, where you have this great individual legacy as well as championships. His whole legacy is based on winning because he's not going to have great individual numbers and he's not like this super individual player. So he wants to win and he already knows he may have cost the franchise a championship already. Then KD is really motivated to get his third ring in 3 years. Then he goes out on top. So that's working in the Warriors' favor. The second thing is it's November. They have 4, 5, 6 months to figure out how to get this thing together. And it's true, it's cliche, but it's true. Time heals all wounds. Now, I don't think with what Draymond said to KD that they'll ever have the same type of relationship. I from what people have told me, the way he talked to KD, they can obviously coexist, but it's never going to be the same. So even if they're now coexisting in a business relationship, let's just, we're not cool anymore, we're not friends, we're not boys, we're not kicking it, let's just get this title. They still have 5 months to get used to playing with each other on that type of level, and everybody else can adapt to that as well. So ultimately, I think this team will still win the championship. I'll give you one red flag that I say. As you guys know as well as anybody, their strength has been their chemistry, their camaraderie. In addition to all their talent, even before KD got there when they weren't, so much more talented than everybody else. Their strength was their chemistry, the camaraderie, no egos. Everybody gets along. It's a fun atmosphere and all that. Now, if KD and Draymond never become friends again, will that hurt the team dynamic? Like, will they be able to be as good and as successful without that same dynamic of everybody being cool and strength in numbers and all that? So that's a red flag, but I think they'll be able to overcome
it. How big of a role now does Steve Kerr, play in getting this team back to where you're talking about, to championship type of caliber basketball?
Wow. I mean, it's obviously the toughest job that he's had since he's been there. But I don't know. I mean, Steve, everybody loves Steve. We know how conciliatory Steve is. He doesn't have that ego. And that's been huge for a team with a guy like Draymond. Other than just doing what he's doing, being himself and coaching, the way he coaches, I don't know how much he can do to heal the wounds between those two. Now, it may be a month from now or 3 weeks from now, he'll see, hey, I'm going to have to sit down with these guys. One-on-one, I'm going to have to talk to, me and those two. Or maybe Steph sees that. Like, there's the one thing, and I thought what Draymond said the other day was good with his, you know, his statement on the whole issue the other day. But I never heard an apology. And I think he needed to go. Now, maybe he did this in their one-on-one talk. But he needed to go to KD and be like, look, man, look, I was just upset. I get emotional. You came at me like I was some flunky. And I was just mad, man. But you know how much we need you. You know we can't do it without you. You know I was the one calling you on the phone right after game 7 begging you to come. Like, I was wrong, man. I was just mad, and I was saying stuff I don't mean. That's what he needed to say to KD. That's the only type of apology that can potentially move you past the things you said to him. You know, and what Draymond said, that was nice, you know, in his public statement. But that wasn't the apology that I think KD needed to get, because Draymond knew it. Everybody knows it. The one thing that kills KD is the perception that he just hopped on the bandwagon, that they could have won it without you. And that's right where Draymond hit him. So hopefully for the Warriors' sake, he did apologize like that in private. But I think because this whole thing became public, he should have said it in public as well.
Do you think the team made a mistake by making it so public, by going out and suspending him for a game? Would they have been better served in the short and the long run to have kept this in-house, Chris?
You know, I mean, obviously they really thought long and hard about this situation and, you know, what they needed to do. And possibly they felt like, look, it's going to leak anyway, or some stuff had already leaked. And they were like, you know, it's getting out. So we got to just, let's own it. Let's take control of it. So that's probably was their thinking. What I would say, if it was possible to keep it in-house, then they should have kept it in-house. No, because you embarrassed Draymond. You went, like, you clearly chose KD over Draymond, which, look, he is the better player. There's no question about that. But he's also leaving you no matter what. Like, all this, we got to try to keep KD. I don't think it's happening. I don't think there's anything they can do. And I think the approach of, hey, we're not going to recruit him. I mean, we're going to, you know, treat him like we always have. We're going to, you know, give him whatever he needs, and we're going to be a great team and try to win and all that. But you don't need to go out of your way. The right approach is just business as usual. And if 3 championships and all that isn't enough to keep KD, then so be it. He was leaving anyway. But yeah, I think, again, in today's climate where everything seems to leak, it would have been very hard. But ideally, they would have been able to keep this in-house.
Chris, last 7 years maybe, or even 8, there's been a guy that was in the East, you know where I'm going, and was always in the NBA Finals, and now he's in L.A. He's come to the West to rest. With the addition of Tyson Chandler, how is this team and how do you view them now?
Look, I think that they can be the second best team in the West. There's no reason they can't be the second best. Now, Golden State clearly is the first. And unless they derail themselves, nobody's beating them. The only team that I think could be better than the Lakers outside of the Warriors would be the Rockets. And obviously they're off to a poor start, but, you know, maybe they found their footing. See, I think the Rockets will clearly get back in the playoffs and, you know, be a good team. I have been one that has felt they're not going to get back to what they were last year. They're not going to be a legitimate threat to the Warriors. But it's a long season. They got a lot of time left, and they obviously looked good last night. Maybe they will get back there. They got Jeff Bezdilik, their defensive coordinator. He's back. And the thing about him is he's a nuisance when it comes to defense. He pesters the players. He's yelling at them. They get sick of him. But that's what you need for a good defensive coach. You need somebody that's just constantly hounding you about playing defense, and he's back. So they could end up being better than the Lakers. But outside of that, I mean, look, the West is tough. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not tough. You know, it's still very tough. But I'm looking at these teams, Denver, the Clippers, OKC, Memphis, San Antonio, Utah, New Orleans. Very good, but they don't have LeBron James. They don't have the championship pedigree.
That's
all
real.
All the teams I mentioned. They have no champions. The Lakers have LeBron, Rondo, and Tyson Chandler, plus a lot of young talent. So I think they can be the second-best team in the West.
Fox Sports NBA analyst for FS1 and co-host of The Odd Couple with Rob Parker on Fox Sports Radio, Chris Broussard with us here on 95.7 The Game. Chris, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for the insights. Have a great weekend and an even better Thanksgiving.
All right, guys. You too. Anytime you need me.